Our chapel speaker today is Pastor Tim Potter. I remember Brother Tim as a college student. Had a great heart for winning people to Christ and led an evangelistic basketball extension over to Spartanburg. Brother Tim has 2 degrees from Bob Jones University, one in 1990 and another a master's degree in 1991. He's also received a Master Divinity degree from one of our sister institutions. Pastor Tim is the pastor of Grace Church of Mentor, Ohio. He served there prior to becoming pastor about 6 years ago. He served as associate and youth pastor there for 14 years. So about 20 years at that church. Some of you remember his father, Pastor Bob Potter, who preached at Bible conference last year. And this is his little boy, Tim, preaching for us here today. A big man. Grace Church of Mentor is an outstanding church. It has a great warm testimony. When you walk in, you just sense that there are newly converted people there. The church systematically tries to reach its entire community for Christ, a large community, and emphasizing evangelism, discipleship, solid teaching and preaching, as well as church planting. Grace Church holds a national church planting conference each year. Tim and his wife, Rhonda, who is also a BJU grad, they have 4 children. And they are serving the Lord, loving the Lord. And it's a privilege for us to hear today from Pastor Tim Potter. He's here also teaching our block class and the ministerial block class this fall, as he does each year. And so it's a special opportunity for us to hear from him from the Word of God today.
All right. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and go with me to Acts chapter 9. To begin with, now, I probably won't let you sleep much today, as tired as you are, because we're going to be skipping around to some different passages together. And I'd like to talk to you today about some back-end results of some entry-level ministers. Can you remember that? The back-end results of some entry-level ministers. Over the last 11 years, we've had 60 Bob Jones University graduates return to Grace Church of Mentor to become part of our evangelism and our discipleship and our church planting and foreign missions efforts. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to happen. It all started 20 years ago when Grace Church of Mentor had gone through some very difficult times. In 1990, we couldn't pay our missionaries. There's not a greater agony in the world for a pastor than to not be able to pay servants on the foreign field. In 1991, one person had a burden to go back and to help a struggling church for Christ's sake. 20 years later, especially as I've already said, in the last 11 years, we've had 60 come back and enjoy the work of the Spirit of God there in a disciple-making church. I think the New Testament illustrates for us or tells us about a number of entry-level ministers as a result of their passion to go where it wasn't so comfortable at the beginning, the gospel spread throughout the whole known world to millions because of just a few. I want to highlight some of those individuals this morning, and then I want to tell you in the second part of our chapel challenge today, the influence that these 60 students have had at Grace Church of Mentor, its church plants and foreign missions. And then at the end, I'm going to have on the screens pictures of these 60 students, as many as I could muster up. And I want you to look at these faces and understand that these students that are graduates from this school determined in their hearts to be entry-level ministers at a very difficult place under the furtherance of the gospel. Okay? So we're going to hustle along this morning. In Acts chapter 9, we find a very important entry-level minister in the Apostle Paul's life. In verse 27, but Barnabas took him, Paul, and brought him to the apostles. This was no easy task, very, very difficult. Paul was not a popular individual, as you know, at this particular time, shortly after his conversion. And he declared unto them how he, Paul, had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, you see Barnabas being very influential in the life of the Apostle Paul, not only at the beginning of Paul's public ministry, but through the duration of it. He was with Paul for a year at Antioch, helping that church as it flourished, administrate it, settle it. He was part of a team that took back a financial gift from Antioch to the poor people of the Church of Jerusalem. It was from Antioch that Barnabas went with Paul on the first missionary journey as they were commissioned from Antioch. An entry-level guy that had extreme eternal influence, global eternal influence. I wish you would take your Bibles and now go over a couple more pages to Acts chapter 16. And you're going to say, Pastor, we know all this, and that may be true, but I just want you to just kind of meditate on this entry-level aspect in a local church, primarily in your local church, regardless of how strong it is. Okay? In Acts chapter 16, you know full well that we have our first European convert here. And what's her name? Her name's Lydia. Right? And Lydia was found out by the Apostle Paul, because there's no synagogue in this city of Philippi. And so the Apostle Paul finds a gathering of ladies who are devout in their prayers. And he speaks the word of God to them, and God opens their hearts to the gospel. And they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Lydia, in her heart, God opens her heart. She accepts him as her Savior. And then she begins something in her home. An entry-level servant of Christ who initiates an activity in her home. And that's our first European church plant. And if you think about the history of the church, it really demonstrates for us that the reality of westernized church planting really stands on the shoulders of this lady who initiated a church in her home. Entry-level servant with global eternal influence, right? Go over with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There are so many passages, young people, on this truth, and we don't have the opportunity this morning to take advantage of those, but we'll just look at some others. There was a grandma and a mom, Lois and Eunice of Timothy, who took advantage of introducing their son and grandson to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, Timothy was regionally, some would say globally, influential for Christ. In verse 14 of chapter 3, Paul exhorts Timothy, who's the pastor of Ephesus at that time, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Salvation, sanctification, proclamation. And you know the influence of Timothy's ministry, and you will know that as you continue to study the Scriptures together. These are just a few illustrations in the New Testament of entry-level servants that had an eternal global influence. One person, individuals who went to extreme difficult places and just remained faithful over time to their disciple-making local church. And God blessed them and broke the bread of their obedience. Go with me now to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5. Remember, it was at Philippi where Lydia began a church in her home, or housed this church. Sometime later, as the Apostle Paul writes to Philippi from prison in Rome, I find it interesting the enduring testimony that the people at Philippi had. As you read the book of Philippians, you'll notice one word emerge often, and that's the word fellowship or partnership. The first time it's mentioned in the book is in verse 5. And we'll go back up to verse 4, get a little bit of a context there. Always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy for your partnership or fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. From the day Lydia was born again and that church was birthed until this point, there was a fellowship, a partnership in the gospel. If you go down to verse 27, the Apostle Paul says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." There were other converts. We know the Philippian jailer and his family. There was other fruit in Philippi. Entry-level servants that established themselves in discipleship and in evangelism, okay, that remained faithful for eternal purposes, and even today. Again, as we say in the West, we're benefited by this church, but also by inspired Scripture as the Holy Spirit worked through Paul to pen it. Okay, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. Here's Paul telling Timothy, who was led to the Lord by his grandmother and mother's influence. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is communicating to his pupil, Timothy, a young pastor, what is to be his responsibility at Ephesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, you're well familiar with it. "And the things, Timothy, that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So because of the entry-level influence of Timothy's mother and grandmother, and because of his willingness to be discipled by the Apostle Paul and mentored in early ministry, now he's established as the pastor of the church of Ephesus, and now he's asked of the Apostle Paul to go and to do and perform ministry among his flock the same way that it was performed or done unto him. And the idea is here, out of Ephesus, there should have been and were called men of God, directed ladies of God, to serve within that local church unto the propagation of the gospel, not only in Ephesus, but in its region, and then unto the uttermost parts of the world. We could go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 and look at Paul's thankful heart for the Thessalonian church that some theologians say was no more than 18 months old in the Lord when the Apostle Paul wrote to them. And he's thankful. He's thankful for their entrenched, faithful ministry, regardless of the affliction and the persecution that they were experiencing. But that goes back to Acts 17 and Paul's initiatory work in Thessalonica at the temple preaching the gospel. And there were numbers saved there, a number of prominent women in that church. But that church was tremendously afflicted at its inception. But faithful people at the beginning endured. And by the time we get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 and 8, we find out that that young church had a local, a regional, and a global influence among all of God's people within just a year and a half. Entry-level servants with long-term back-end results as they were a part of disciple-making churches. These 60 students that have come back in the last 11 years, if you count my wife and I, 62, that began 20 years ago last month, they came back to a church where they were born again, where they were discipled, where they came here to get the world's best education in my mind and in my heart, trained here to go into the local church and invest as entry-level ministers for eternal purposes. I want to tell you what these young people, many of them who were born again in our youth ministry, many of them are first-generation Christians, what they're doing now at Grace Church. Our senior pastor, our associate pastor, our youth pastor, and our discipleship pastor were all born again, discipled, and returned to Grace Church of Menor. Our whole pastoral staff has been blessed by the influence of a disciple-making church, like Paul told Timothy at Ephesus, to commit faithful things to faithful men so that they might continue to do the same. Okay? The pictures we're going to show here in just a few minutes, if they're not already started, they're going to be pictures of these 60 kids. And I want you to think about what they're doing now. They're pastoring. They're our college and career director. They're our children's ministry coordinator, our child care center director, our ushering leaders, our children's evangelistic outreach directors. They're all discipling. They're all evangelizing. They're all servants of the gospel. They're our sound booth director. They're Sunday school teachers. They're in every evangelistic venue in our community that we can possibly find. These kids are being used of the Lord as entry-level servants unto local, regional, and national, and now global influence for Christ. 11 years ago, young people, there were 150 core members at Grace Church of Mentor, with about 275 in attendance. Today, there are 395 core members at Grace Church of Mentor, with about 550 in attendance. 11 years ago, there were no thoroughly trained disciples at our church. Now there are over 300 trained disciplers at our church. We've gone through a $1.3 million building project in the last 11 years. We've had 200% growth with 7 churches planted and many other churches we've been able to help plant. And we've given over 100 members from Grace Church of Mentor to our local 7 church plants. Some of these students that you're seeing are operative in that effort. We have 11 students here now. I won't embarrass them. I told them the other night I was going to. But they're here now. And they all chimed in as we had dinner together, excited about coming back as entry-level servants in Grace Church, our church plants, and our mission field church plants for the gospel's sake, all through their home local church. Among our 7 church plants, we've been able to send out missionaries that have come out of our churches. And guess what, young people? The missionaries that have come out of our churches in the last 11 years have spent less than 1 year of deputation. before they went out onto the foreign field. One church working in cooperation with seven others to quickly facilitate a family to the field. I hope you see the process here. Young people just like you, who may not come from the most established, flourishing churches, that are burdened of God to go back home and be an entry-level minister for Christ's sake. 20 years later, this dude's got no regrets. After 1 year of being at Grace Church of Menor, we were able to pay our missionaries we missed in 1990, both for 1990 and 1991. And as we became a disciple-making church of evangelizing and discipling souls, our theme is one soul to a soul for life. One life to a life for life. Everybody's being led. Everyone's following. And as that was engendered and cultivated, we have a culture of discipleship now because we have constant new birth on a regular basis, constant baptisms, constant church planting as a result of our growth. And then those church plants now doing the same, working together to foreign missions. Our missions budget in the last 11 years has increased by 60% because there were entry-level servants that came back to do the work of the Lord at a local level. 11 years ago, we had 90% of our evangelistic money going into foreign missions. 5 years ago, we had a desire to switch that, where the majority of our evangelistic funds are going into Jerusalem and then into church planting, into Judea and Samaria, and then under the uttermost parts of the earth. We have more money now going into evangelism locally and then in church planting. Church planting is less than local, and missions is less than church planting, but it's 60% more than it was 11 years ago. Can I just tell you, I think that's a biblical norm. Okay? And God can use each one of you to go back to your pastor who would love to hear from you, regardless, like I said, of how strong or how weak your church may be. I told you where our state was in 1990. And you could just say with tears in your eyes and after a word of prayer, "Pastor, God's burdened my heart to be an entry-level servant." And guess what? God might do and will do 20 years later if you stick faithful to it. Because you're then going to become an example to others around you. Little children in your church, no matter how big it is, teenagers in your church, kids that are being educated that might go off to school, you're going to become the template, if you will, the example to the flock of someone who came back as an entry-level person, saw a discipleship program started, saw the church grow, helped your pastor plant churches in your area, then a collaboration of those churches working together unto foreign missions. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, really, kids, what are you here for anyway? We're getting a degree, and that degree is to be used of God in our culture. But the majority of these kids that you're seeing that are graduates of this place are not pastor teachers. They're in the community serving God and through their jobs and in their local church. The unemployment level in the state of Ohio is 11%. Okay? In our county, it's 9%. In our city of Mentor, okay, it's 7%. Can I tell you, out of the 550 people that come to church at Grace Church of Mentor, we only have one head of household that's out of work. Why in the world do you think that is? Because God's very interested in funding people who are entry-level servants that have their eye on eternal back-end results, and they're fervently working until Jesus comes. There's integrity to deep roots. No more need for any young people that are a mile wide and an inch deep in their understanding of the Bible or in their passion for the agent of gospel dissemination in this dispensation, the apple of God's eye, the local church. It's a great and wonderful thing to consider. I was just reading this morning in the Collegian, and I'll close with this. I clipped it out. I just saw it before chapel, and I destroyed school property, I suppose. And I'm sorry for that. I'll pay for it. I don't know who wrote this article. There was no author to it. But whoever did it, good for you. And let this translate to a student body energy to go back to your local church, regardless of the condition you think it's in, and help that poor pastor do eternal things. Are you listening? Here we go. As graduation races towards college students, seniors need to ask themselves where they will go and how they can best serve Christ. Can I tell you? The only place that you can really serve Christ for eternity's sake is in your local church. God provided jobs for all these kids. Right? Some of them you know. No, the bags do not need to be packed on Saturday, May 5th. But hanging around a comfortable area wastes potential that could be used for the sake of the gospel. When it comes time to move on, don't settle for the comfortable. How many of you read that article and saw that paragraph? Good for you. Get your collegian, get it, clip it out, put it on the inside of your Bible, and think about what you could do as an entry-level servant in your local church unto a global influence. How many of you would love to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ someday and say, I counted for eternity in the world? Nobody? All right, if you want to count for Christ that way, as an individual, remember Jesus had a band of 12 and they turned the world upside down. Don't despise the day of small things, kids. If you're an individual that wants to influence the world for Christ through a good, solid local church, hopefully your own, why don't you stand? And do that, and just admit that. Count globally. Don't stand up if you're not really interested, if you've got to think about it a little bit more. I want to count for Christ for eternity, locally, regionally, and globally through my local church as an entry-level servant and through years of faithfulness. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you so much for the simplicity of your word. These heroes of the faith, Barnabas, Lydia, others, who determined to be faithful entry-level servants in difficult places under the glory of Christ in the world. I pray, Lord God of heaven, as your Spirit works among the student body here, that He would persuade hearts of the purpose of the local church in this dispensation, and that you would give us a passion for the work of Christ through your glorious church. In Jesus' name, amen.